Good evening and welcome to Radio Readers Theater, brought to you by the Thief River Falls Area Community Theater and Pioneer 90.1. I'm your host, Mark Johnson, and tonight we bring you The Roaring Twenties Scrapbook. It's a musical comedy all in the mood of that nostalgic era of the flapper, the Model T, the Charleston, and Makin' Whoopee. Our cast of characters this evening includes Paul Burnett, Sherry Cannot, Rob Burkell, Scott Preem, and Jane Anderson. Tonight we begin with Paul Burnett as the stage manager. Imagine him on a black stage in a spotlight begins to grow. He's dressed in gray from head to toe, including gray makeup on his hands and face, as if he's a ghost, and that is what he is. He's smiling a mocking and sardonic smile. He speaks directly to the audience.
You overpaid, overfed, overnourished idiots! Do you think you know what life is all about? Do you think you know how to live, you fools? All of you, every one of you here, live in your own cocoons. You read to the kids, you look at television, and every once in a while you might even have a martini with a lemon peel. Do you call that living? You read Dr. Spock and Dr. Gessel, the Reader's Digest and the Saturday Evening Post. You've read something about Sigmund Freud and Mickey Spillane. Do you think this is enough? Of course it isn't. You've forgotten. You've forgotten all about the Roaring Twenties.
Here is the drag, see how it goes. Down on the heels, up on the toes. That's the way to do the varsity drag. Hotter than hot, newer than new, meaner than mean, bluer than blue. Gets as much applause as waving a flag.
The Roaring Twenties. Ah, those 20s, that's when people knew how to live. They began with everybody singing, "There are smiles that make you happy." And they ended with people singing, "Brother, can you spare a dime?" But in between, there was enough to make the whole thing worthwhile. If you passed by any college campus in the country, you'd hear them singing.
Collegiate, collegiate, yes, we are collegiate. Nothing intermediate, no, ma'am. Trousers, baggy. All our clothes look raggy, but we're rough and ready. Yay, rah, rah.
Or the boys, intent on romance, might be singing to their college flappers.
We love the college girls, we love the college girls, we'll say we do. Yay, boo!
They're so remarkable and intellectual.
No!
Yes!
Those were the days in between Warren G. Harding and Franklin D. Roosevelt. They squeezed 20 years' worth into 10. And those bathing beauties, they don't make them that way anymore, no siree. If you pass them on the beach, you might hear them singing.
Ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. I'll ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet?
And where would the 20s be if it weren't for playboys and flappers? If it weren't for Peaches and Daddy Browning, things would have been mighty dull.
Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face.
Of course, the man who really was in the spotlight was the Wall Street broker. He was riding high on the tide of profits and prosperity for a while, and you might have heard him singing a song. And marathon dances, you couldn't turn a corner without running into a marathon dance. They might be singing one of those great old songs of the day. Everybody was happy and everybody knew that prosperity wasn't just around the corner. It was here, now, at the moment. And out in Hollywood, they were grinding them out like crazy. Doug Fairbanks Sr. and Mary Pickford and Charlie Chaplin and Harold Lloyd.
If I had a talking picture of you, I would run it every time I felt blue. I would sit there in the gloom of my lonely little room and applaud each time you whispered, I love you, love you.
They didn't get the talkies until the decade had almost burned out, but they got a lot of golf, especially since Bobby Jones was just beginning to show them what golfing really was. And if they got caught in the rain, you could hear them singing one of the great favorites of the
20s. I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love.
And some guy with a top hat and a licorice stick clarinet was knocking him dead with a song like this. Ted Lewis.
Now when my baby smiles at me, oh, I thought you would be paradise. And when my baby smiles at me.
Another guy toward the end of that wonderful time came along to make women faint and wives wonder why their husbands seemed so dull. His name was Rudy Valley, and he sang through both his nose and a megaphone like this.
I'm just a vagabond lover, in search of a sweetheart it seems, and I know that someday I'll discover the girl of my vagabond dreams.
Yes, sir, it was a great day and age. It started out with a bang and ended with one of a different kind. But everybody was happy to begin with, and even though this song was written 3 years before the Roaring Twenties started, it's the kind of feeling you got to feel and you couldn't help it.
There are smiles that make us happy. There are smiles that steal away the teardrop, and the sunbeams steal away the dew. There are smiles that have a tender meaning that the eyes of love alone may see, and the smiles that fill my life with sunshine.
You couldn't pick a better starting date for the Roaring Twenties than 1920. It just seems to fit, that's all. People were reading Sinclair Lewis's Main Street and Zona Gale's Miss Lulu Bett, and a young author by the name of F. Scott Fitzgerald was shaping up pretty well with a book called This Side of Paradise. If you went to the theater then, you'd probably go see Smiling Through, or The Gold Diggers with Ina Clare, or maybe Theda Bara in The Vamp. People heard for the first time songs like Avalon, Japanese Sandman, Margie, Whispering, and Look for the Silver Lining. A guy named Walter Winchell hadn't been heard from much yet, but if he had, he would probably have summed up 1920 like this.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. 1920 will be a year remembered for a lot of things. January 16th, Prohibition passed in with the hope that less people will pass out. March 28th, Mary Pickford and Douglas Fairbanks married in Hollywood. When they marry there, it's news. When they divorce there, it's not. August 18th, down in Tennessee, they passed the Woman's Suffrage Amendment, and they're trying to figure out some kind of voting machine which can talk back. September 28th, in the worst scandal in baseball history, 8 players of the Chicago White Sox were indicted for throwing last year's World Series. It's given the White Sox a black name. November 2nd, Warren G. Harding and Calvin Coolidge elected, and for the first time, election returns were broadcast over radio station KDKA in Pittsburgh. Radio, a new exciting medium.
1921, that was the year, all right.
Out in Iowa, they made it legal to buy cigarettes for the first time, and Congressman Andrew Volstead put through a bill which made it illegal to sell beer on a doctor's prescription. Jack Dempsey KO'd Georgia Charpentier, and women's skirts were getting so short that a newspaper in West Virginia wrote, "We object to women being called skirts. There is very little reason." A London paper told of a little girl who lost her mother. "Why didn't you hold on to her skirts?" the bobby asked. "Because," said the little girl, "I couldn't reach them." People were reading Alice Adams by Booth Tarkington and went into a tailspin over The Sheik. In the theater, a young man named Irving Berlin was having a success with a show called The Music Box Review, and a comedian named Ed Wynn was laying them in the aisles with a show called The Perfect Fool. People were singing April Showers, There'll Be Some Changes Made, The Sheik of Araby, Peggy O'Neill. The Giants beat the Yankees with a young man named K.C. Stengel in the outfield.
I'm making a public opinion survey, sir. Mind if I ask you a few questions?
Shoot.
There's an actress named Catherine Cornell on Broadway right now. What do you think of her?
She'll never make it.
What about Irving Berlin?
He's a flash in the pan.
Ed Wynn?
Same thing.
How about K.C. Stengel?
I'll give him one more year.
What about the future of radio?
Just a novelty. It'll never get anywhere.
There's a new book this year by Edna Ferber. What do you think of her?
She's just a one-shot.
There's a rumor going around that sometime they might get moving pictures to actually talk. What do you think of that?
They'll never do it.
One more question. What do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a forecaster for the Weather Bureau.
1922. There was a lot of talk about a newfangled thing called nightclubs going around, especially in New York, and they began broadcasting news on a regular basis for the first time on the radio. And those young people, they were going straight down the wrong road. All this frank talk about almost anything, the girls chasing after the boys, all that sort of thing. King Tut's tomb was opened in Egypt, and the Lincoln Memorial was opened in Washington. Sinclair Lewis was doing mighty well with a book called Babbitt, and John Barrymore was doing all right with a play called Hamlet. Another play called Abby's Irish Rose opened on Broadway, and every critic in the business said it would fold up within a week. It ran 5 years. All over the country, people went wild over that crazy game called Mahjong. Some songs were doing pretty well, too. Chicago, Hot Lips, Runnin' Wild, Carolina in the Morning, Limehouse Blues, My Buddy. And people were beginning to recognize more and more just where jazz was coming from. And where was that? New Orleans, of course. And one of the great songs of that year proved it. It was called Way Down Yonder in New Orleans. And if you had been down there listening to one of the jazz combos, it might have sounded something like this.
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of dreamy scenes, there's a garden of Eden.
For me, that's what I need.
La, 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 la. Three old babies with flashing eyes, softly whistle with tender sighs.
Stop.
Oh, won't you give your lady fair, fair, a little smile.
By the time 1923 came around, people were getting more sensible. They began sitting on flagpoles and going in for those marathon dances and singing a song called, Yes, We Have No Bananas. This was progress. A Frenchman named Emile Couet was welcomed in New York with his system of curing everything in sight just by saying to yourself, Day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. I'm not exactly sure it worked, because they moved the 3-mile limit for rum-running boats out to 12 miles, President Harding died, and you could buy 65 million German marks for a penny. There were some bright spots, though. Jack Dempsey beat both Tommy Gibbons and Louis Firpo, and a Navy lieutenant set a world speed record for airplanes at 243 miles per hour. At the movies, you could take your choice among The Covered Wagon, Harold Lloyd, and Safety Last, The Green Goddess, or The Hunchback of Notre Dame. If you kept your ears open, you'd be hearing people sing songs like Linger a While, Swingin' Down the Lane, That Old Gang of Mine, Who's Sorry Now, and best of all, along came that mad, ridiculous song and dance, the Charleston. The year 1924 came in on a wave, a permanent wave. Everybody everywhere was getting them. The Supreme Court finally decided that beer wasn't a medicine, even though some people claimed that beer was really just a little foam for the old soaks. Bobby Jones won the National Amateur Golf Championship, and Calvin Coolidge and Charles Dawes won the election. Everybody was talking about Michael Arlen's book, The Green Hat, and a bunch of crazy brothers on the stage called the Marx Brothers made a big hit. And another craze came along, crossword puzzles. If you put on those headphones and got that crystal set working right, you could hear orchestras playing songs like California, Here I Come, Doodle Doo Doo, I'll See You in My Dreams, It Had to Be You, All Alone, Lady Be Good, and that great old tune which still keeps everybody's feet tapping, T for Two.
On my knees, just me for two, and two for me, just me for you, and you for me alone.
Nobody here, us here, us here,
no friends, no relations, on weekend vacation, we won't have it, no fear that we own the very phone.
Halfway through the Roaring Twenties, 1925 came along, and with it, the crossword puzzle craze got worse, along with New York City, which elected a dapper playboy for mayor by the name of James Walker. Red Grange quit college to play pro football. A young cadet had trouble with his plane and parachuted safely to Earth at Kelly Field. His name was Charles Lindbergh. Bryn Mawr College really let down the bars and revoked a 28-year rule against smoking. People were reading Carry On, Jeeves, by P.G. Wodehouse, and Aerosmith by Sinclair Lewis. On Broadway, they were raving about Marilyn Miller in Sonny, and at the movies, they were looking at The Gold Rush, The Merry Widow, and The Phantom of the Opera. An obscure news item appeared in the papers, and nobody paid much attention to it. It said that a gentleman by the name of Vladimir R. Zworkin had developed a thing called a thermionic photoelectric tube. It turned out to be television. And those songs were getting better every year. Alabama Bound, Cecilia, 5'2". And that song everyone was singing, Sweet Georgia Brown. Yes, sir, these were the days. Everybody was riding high, prosperity was getting better every day, and nobody was worrying about anything. What's to come? We'll see about that after the intermission.